It's recording now. Yes. Now let's begin. We said the homework in soul winning. We have Mark 16, 15 to 18, 8, Matthew 28, 19, and John 15, 2. So persons who may have done that, let's go.
Okay, Mark 16. Oh, 16.
15 to 18.
15 to 18, okay. And he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believe not shall be damned. And those signs shall follow them that believe in the name, shall thou cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So there we see Jesus asks us to go into the world to preach the gospel. As we learning how to be humble, to go out there, Jesus was humble. That's why he died on the cross for us. And we have to do the work also, because our mandate as willing women is to go in the world and preach the gospel, to go and minister to others, and so that souls shall be saved. And the Bible tells us, so for us to do that, we have to be humble. We have to be have humility for us to do the work. And we have, first to begin, we have to know how to approach people. Because if we just come rough with people, they will not believe the word. They will say, what kind of person is that? And then that come and give me the word. Sometimes people can be hoggish, but you yourself have to be polite. You have to humble. Even if the person say whatever, you don't have to answer, and pray for them. And in Matthew 28, 19 said the same, almost the same thing. 28:19. And he go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So when we go out there to preach the word and they accept Christ, we have to nurture them, and we have to bring them to water baptism, because the Bible said they have to baptize in the name of the Father. Because some people, when you go and witness to them, they'll tell you, oh, I baptized already. From the time I was a child, I baptized. So you have to make them understand that is dedication, but it is not baptism. Amen.
Amen. So Teresa, I'll give you a star, okay? I'll give you a star. Okay, somebody okay. Else? Number two? Titus 2:13-14. Good works. Do I have to call a name? Well, Ivy was not here on Tuesday. I see Sabrina here. Kim was
here. The Brown wasn't there.
Neither Sister Brown, but I hope you have your Bible there. Brenda Lee, could you do Titus 2:13?
Okay, I didn't remember which one of those you had given me, so that's why I chuckled like that.
Okay.
Okay, 2:13-14. Okay, it read, looking for the blessing, the blessed hope, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he may redeem us from all iniquity and purify us unto himself, a perpetual people, zealous of good works. Good works is not a legal entry into heaven, as some denomination believe, but as a result of you becoming a Christian, accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and your Savior, then you should do good works. You should be that follower of Jesus Christ and be that disciple. Then you would do good work for him because you are following his example that he did in the earth while he was here. And he paid the price for us as a ransom for our sin, like a lesson read previously remind us. So it's not just our good works that gets us into heaven, but because we are Christian and we do good work, we'll be rewarded for our good work once we get to heaven. But like I said earlier, some denomination actually make people believe that it's by their good deeds that they would get into heaven.
Okay, very good, Brenda Lee. Not on works of righteousness that makes us become saved, but it's asking for forgiveness through the blood of Jesus Christ that he shed for us. Okay, God ministering to the saints, 2 Corinthians 9:12. Somebody. Sabrina, you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, good afternoon. It's good having you. Could you do that one for me, please?
I looked at holiness and spiritual gifts.
Okay, so do it then.
Okay. Okay, holiness, Hebrews 12 and 14. Continually pursue peace with everyone and the sanctification without which no one will ever see the Lord. And to me, what I got from that as a disciple, we are to continually, without stopping, pursue or follow after peace. And this peace, I see it as our tranquility, and we are to pursue peace with everyone. So those persons who may not be lovely, those who are unlovely, everybody, that is to be our stance. As far as possible, be at peace with everybody. And then the sanctification, which is consecration or the divine grace of God, which we all need, without which we will not ever be able to see the Lord. So we need to pursue that divine grace to ensure that we have that so that we will be able and be prepared to meet the Lord.
Amen. And let's remember also that the Lord said he's a holy God, and because he's holy, he requires us to be holy, to live holy lives. You know, sometimes some people doubt that we can truly live a holy life, and there's a song we sing, oh to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, and they say, oh, we can't be like Jesus. So right away, what is happening there is that they're defeating the purpose, they're defeating the words, they are allowing their words or their natural eyes to counteract the spiritual things of God. But holiness unto the Lord should be our watchword, especially when we are discipling others. we have to make sure that our life, and I think Teresa, when she was doing her part, she said we cannot rough the people up. A question was asked of me some time ago, why don't Christians tell the unsaved persons before they come into fellowship with the Lord that the Christian life is not an easy road or it is challenging? And my response to the person is that when you're selling a product, you don't go into the negative aspect of the product. But the thing is, one person's experience would not be the same as another person's experience in the Christian walk. The valley I might have to go through might not be the same valley that another person may go through. My brokenness might not be the same as another person's brokenness. My wilderness experience might not be the same as the other person. But the thing is, as we go along, and nothing comes easy. Success, you have to do hard work. In the Christian walk, there are times when we would be up and there are times when we would be down. There are times when we're in the valley and another time we're on the mountain peak rejoicing. However, the thing we have to always remember, there's hope. And the word of God said he will never leave us alone. So if you're preaching the gospel, you're preaching repentance, you know, yes, there are challenges, you can say that, but God is able to keep us. But I can't say if I, well, it's not really, you know, so the best thing to do is get them saved, get their soul salvation out of the pits of hell. And then as time go on, those things would be explained and they would experience some of it themselves. Because as soon as you give your life to Christ, there's a lot of challenges that we would face from time to time. But we have to hit the road and ask God to keep us under the shadow of his wings. All right. Anybody did ministering to the saints, 2 Corinthians 9:12? No? Pamela, what did you do? Pamela, you there?
Yes, I have done soul winning and good works.
So just explain what you have done anyway.
Okay, so in soul winning, well, the word tells us that we have to go into all the world and preach the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Those who believe and are baptized will be saved. And it also tells us what accomplishments we can do through Jesus, like casting out devils and healing the sick and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And these are some of the things that we have to do. Make sure that we carry out the mandate when he says to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
And mm-hmm.
is baptized shall be saved. So we need to be obedient.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to tell people, invite them to come alongside us into the kingdom. And we also have to help in nurturing them, discipling them, teaching them, taking them under our wings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not only good enough to see a person become, or well, to make a profession of faith, but you also have to be an encouragement to them, both in deeds and words, to show them how to walk the Christian life. So we are discipling them in that way.
Amen. So I forget to say to Sabrina, I would give you also a star. I put a star. You also, and Pam. So I've given away what, 3 stars already? Okay. Anybody?
Brenda.
Hello?
Yeah. Did you give Brenda Lee a star?
Oh, Brenda Lee, you get a star too. Yes. Every person would get a star. Now, 2 Corinthians 9:12. Anybody read that? Ministering to the saints. So for the administration of his service, not only supplied the want of the saints, but is abundantly also by many thanksgiving unto God. So it's not just giving to the physical being of the person, but we are to minister unto their spiritual needs also, and also in giving thanks to God. You know, a lot of times we always want to say, give me, Lord, give me this, Lord, give me that, Lord, meet my needs, Lord, heal me. But what we need to do at times is spend time giving thanks to God for his goodness towards us, giving not only just, but in abundance. Because we say that God is able, he's abundantly able to do all that we ask or even think. So when we minister, we would not only minister to their physical needs and making sure they're physically strong, but also we can minister to them spiritually. The body of Christ need to let their disciples know that it's a holistical aspect of the human being. So there's a social, there's a spiritual, there's an emotional. So all the aspect of the needs must be met, and we are to give thanks unto God. By many thanksgiving unto God, it must be in abundance. Okay? So Kenya, it's good that you're here. Welcome. Have you done your homework?
Yes, I did.
Okay, you want to share, or it's too quick for you?
No, give me one quick second. Let me get my book.
Okay, then. Anybody else? Ivy, Simonia, and you have anybody else? Mona's still there?
I'm still there, but my laptop is very noisy.
Oh, okay, all right.
It's still happening since I wasn't there for the homework assignment, so I don't really know.
All right, but you don't have a book?
Which,
the training manual.
Yeah, I have the training manual.
You have it with you there?
Yes, I do.
Turn to page 41.
Page 41?
Yes, and do you have your Bible?
Yes, I do. Let's hold on.
So look at one of those verses, the first paragraph on page 41.
Page 41.
Yes, and read it and see if you can give us some explanation.
Which one? Okay.
It doesn't matter which one. Even though somebody might have done it before, you can do it, because you may see something else different that can help us.
Page 41, okay.
Yes.
Okay, are you ready? Yes.
Okay.
Well, what I did is I studied all of them, so I'll just give you the first one that I did.
Okay.
Okay, and it was soul winning, and I was like, we must go out into the world and teach God's word to everyone. It does not matter who they are, God's word must be heard. The believers will be greatly rewarded. The unbelievers will be punished. The believers must be, they have to go out baptized and must be baptized. The believers can do all things through Christ who strengthen us, because God said he will never leave us nor forsake us. And if he give us a work to do, he is going to be with us through all the work that he give us. And we can do the same work that Jesus did if we believe, you know, casting out demons and healing the sick. So in his word, he said that, he left us to do as he did. Okay, and once we believe, we can do these things. But we can't say we believe if we don't go. If we are not following his rules. We can't say, okay,
I believe in God and I can cast out demons. No, it is a procedure. It's a process mm-hmm. whereby we have to be believers. We can't be here today, harum scarum. We have mm-hmm. to study the word of God. We have mm-hmm. to know that we know that we know. We are mandated to follow his word and know that, okay, if we believe in him and we're following him, and if we are Christ-like without a shadow of a doubt, what we believe we can do. Because he said that in his word, if we believe, okay? Mm-hmm. And another thing is God is saying he will not let harm come to us. He will mm-hmm. be with us. So we don't have to be afraid to do his work. We don't have to mm-hmm. be afraid to go out there and win souls, because he's with us. Because we are doing his work, he's with us. So in doing his work, we don't have to be afraid to go out there, because he's by our side. Mm-hmm. So we are baptizing, and then we are going over to our neighbors, to our friends, to the nations. We are going trying to win souls for the nation, our neighbors, our friends, everyone. We are trying to do this. And we have to be fruit bearers. We must be fruit bearers, okay? And so in bearing fruit, and we are fruit bearers, God will prune us to bear more fruit. So in his word, he told us that once we are fruit bearers and we're doing what is right, he will prune us and we will produce more fruits. So we will be very fruitful if mm-hmm. we follow what we're supposed to be doing with God's words. So that is what I have thus far.
Okay. Great. Excellent. So Kenya, you also would get a star. So everyone who has spoken would get a star. Ivy, you ready? Simonia, you ready?
Yes, it's 11, I'm ready.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I'm reading from Matthew 28, verse 19. Mm-hmm. It says, go ye into all the world. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And this is Jesus who is speaking and is asking. Well, we know that he was with the disciples, and it goes to us right now that we ought to go into all nations, wherever that we will be led by the Holy Spirit, teaching all nations, teaching them about the word of God, mm-hmm. and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I just want to focus a bit on, you know, we really have to teach persons to really understand who Jesus is and repentance, especially when we go into the world and teaching persons about salvation. We need to make them understand, because it is through genuine repentance from our heart that somebody could really be delivered. So we have to teach them everything that God would want us to teach them about before baptism. Because what I notice is as a lot of people comes when they hear the gospel, and some of them are being baptized, but they don't really fully understand what it is true repentance is all about, and it's godly sorrow. They don't really understand that. And we need to make them understand everything as we go, take our time and relate to them the true gospel of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit will take them. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I do realize that there are even some denomination that does not baptize people. Some of them believe in only Jesus or God, but they don't really believe in either Jesus. And so, but Jesus, they say, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, which is the Trinity, the three in one. So it's very much important as we go, we teach them all things, we to observe everything as we go, that we make sure that we don't do a half done job, but we make sure that they understand as we relate to them, we teach them the gospel. And it is important as well, as we go to teach persons, it is important to interact with them, to question them, to make sure that they answer, because understand. Because one of the things is that sometimes you teach people the word of God, and some persons would say, yeah, yeah, but you know, when you question them and you have a listening ear, the way they relate to you, you would really know exactly, yes, they understand the word of God. So it's very much important as we teach people that we do it in the right way, that they will receive the word and have true repentance so they can be baptized. Amen.
Amen. So yeah. Another star is given out. Ivy?
Yes, good evening.
Is there any of these you want to touch on?
I was also looking at Mark 16, while she was reading, Mark 16, 15 and 18. It talks about soul winning, discipleship being zealous in soul winning. Mm-hmm. And it says, Jesus says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and spread the gospel to every creature. And there we see as disciples, soul winning is one of the most important that I would think in the ministry of the life of God, of God's disciples, soul winning. That is what Jesus is saying here to his disciples. We ought to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And every day there he made no distinction. And so as disciples of God, we must be able to minister to everyone. We ought to be able to minister to the rich, the poor, the black, the white. It doesn't matter who they are. He said to every creature, we must preach the gospel. You know, in the world today, you would find that the certain ministers or pastors will only preach in certain congregations. You have to be in a large congregation or something. But here we see Jesus is saying that we ought to go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It doesn't matter the status. And so we must have that great zeal. We must have that love for soul. We must have that love for soul in order to go and to preach to everyone. Because in today's world, there are those who pick who they would minister to. And then Jesus says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. You know, in some denomination, they baptize you whether you are saved or not, whether you believe or not. But here Jesus is saying, he that believeth. So it means that you must first believe, you must first accept him as Lord and Savior before you should be baptized. And he said, you shall be baptized and shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. You know, and like the Bible tells us that we are condemned in our own hearts if we don't believe. No one really has to condemn us. We will be condemned for our own doubt on Jesus Christ being the Son of God. And then in 17, what he said, and these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. And so we see that, Sister Sanders was saying, we should bear fruit. Mm-hmm. We should bear fruit. And the fruit, one of those fruit is the things that Jesus is talking about here. In my name they shall cast out demons. Having the love of God, having the Spirit of the Lord, having the anointing of God, these signs will follow us when we truly love God, when we put faith in him and depend upon him. We will be able to cast out devils. So as disciples of Jesus Christ, we will be able to speak in new tongues, and we will be able to take up serpents, like he says. And if we drink anything, we must believe that the word of God has power and is able to keep us. And so we can lay hands on the sick. You know, you don't have to be have any name tag, like, you know, the apostles, the big time bishops and stuff. The disciple, we who are disciples called by God, when we believe in his word and we hold faith in his word, we are able to do the same. We say, these signs shall follow them that believe. So if we believe and we are disciples of God and we have that zeal, have that love and have that faith in God, we too are able to lay our hands on the sick. And he said, and they shall recover. And so I'm happy to to know that having the zeal, but again, I like this definition, having the zeal, you know, I did a study at one time, having the zeal for God without understanding is a dangerous thing. You know what? We must study to show ourselves approved, not being ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. And so if there are some who get saved, they have such great zeal to go forth as a disciple, but they won't take time to study the word of God so that they would know the will of God, what God wants for them to do. But they take off without really understanding what is God's will, or what the Lord wants us to do. And that's a dangerous position to be in as a disciple.
Okay, thank you very much, Ivy. That's a mouthful, that's a lot. And we truly have to be so careful. We are supposed to be role models. We are supposed to be the book that some men, which is a word that some men can't read. And when they see the life we're living, they would want to pattern it after us, because we are the light of the world. And our light is supposed to shine brightly, that the darkness would fade away, it would go away. So as wailing women and also being Christians, we have to try our best to win somebody for the Lord. It says that we are bearing fruits, because he said, if we abide in the vine, we are the branches, he is the vine, and we are supposed to abide in him. And if we don't, and we also don't bear fruits, what he's going to do, he will cut us off. So we have to try to win others for God. Yes, Mona?
Yes, I know it's lower a bit. When I look at the verses in Mark chapter 16, I see an important word there, that is go. If we fail to go, then these other things will not take place. So I see obedience there. If you just take on the word go, then nothing will be in effect at all. He tells us to go into all the world. And this is the commandment that he has given us as believers. And when you go, then I see will be, I don't know, in my translation, that is King James. Will is mentioned so many times. If you go, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He says, those that don't believe will be condemned. I see will so many times appearing in these verses, if you have to look at it very closely. Some of them have shall. But the important thing that I see, obedience as the key. If you then go, nothing will take place.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you very much. And I forget to tell Ivy that she'll get a star. Mona, you'll get one also. So I have a very good class. And I see that we have some good scholars here. So let's put our words into action. One, win one. Pray for our fellow men and even for our enemies, that God will save them from the pits of hell. Holiness unto the Lord is our watchword. Holiness. We are supposed to live holy as God requires of us to live a holy life. There's somebody who didn't say anything at all. Everybody participated. I should think so. Okay, so thank you very much. Homework well done. Intercession, Isaiah 59:16-17, it said, and he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Who are we as wailing women? Intercessors. Who are we as Christians? Intercessors. We are intercessors for the Lord.
Sister Laverne, please unmute yourself. Thank you.
Okay. And he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessors. Therefore, his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness is sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. And when I look at this verse, I look at the word zeal. Once we have a zeal, and I think Tuesday I spoke about a passion, being part of Wailing Woman calls for a lot. It calls for a lot of self-sacrifice. It calls for us to be in constant prayer. Even though we're at work, we can whisper a word of prayer. Even though we're driving on the highway or on a small lane, we can say a word of prayer. Sometimes somebody may come to our mind. We don't know what's happening with them. What we can do is pray for them. Ask Holy Spirit to reach out to them, because he would know exactly what is happening to them. He would know where they are at. He would know whether they are struggling. So interceding on behalf of someone, and when God has to say he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessors, let us not be found wanting. Let us not allow God to say nobody is interceding on behalf of somebody else. We can intercede on behalf of family members, neighbors, our nation, the government, the economy. We talk about the mountain of influence. So we can find something there to intercede for. Because Jesus' arm has brought salvation, his righteousness, and we are sustained. And I think Kenya is the one who said that we should not fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. And verse 17, when we look at that, it can also remind us of Ephesians 10. For he had put on righteousness as a breastplate of righteousness to live according to God's ordinances. The helmet of salvation. That's how we have to intercede for those persons who do not know the Lord as Savior, because the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. So the Lord is asking for laborers. We may not be able, I think I can't remember. Oh, Kim was saying about singing. We may not be able to have a luxurious voice, but we can do something that can help somebody else gain a blessing. We can lend a helping hand. Somebody may not be able to move. What we can do is help them. Have a passion, a compassionate heart for others, especially those who do not know the Lord as Savior. Sometimes we can go the extra mile to show them that Jesus Christ is Lord of our life, and he can also be Lord of their life. So we can find a moment to intercede, to tarry. Sometimes at midnight, you stir, you can't sleep. Use it. Holy Spirit, what am I to do? What do you want me to do at this time? And the Lord may lay Pamela on your heart. You may not know what is happening with Pamela. So you pray for her. Father, Abba, Father, that is your daughter. I don't know what is happening with her in Dominica, but God, I pray that whatever is happening, you are going to defend her. Send your soldiers to cover her. Cover her with the blood of Jesus. let the fire of God surround her. And then perhaps you may hear a testimony that she was going through something. She had a demonic attack, but God stirs you. So we are intercessors, and we cannot hold our peace until our nation, until the Caribbean, make a change for godliness. That the leaders would be godly. God will raise up godly leaders in our nation. Sometimes we pray, and we intercede, and it seems as though nothing is happening. It seems as though it's getting worse. Don't be discouraged. We have to put on the garment of vengeance and reach out to destroy the works of the enemy. And God has given us that power. So let us go with a zeal. Let us go. It says go as a cloak. Let us cover ourselves and go forth in the might of the Lord. Let us give God the praise. And you talk about spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 14:2. And I will say in essence, what did Paul say? We must crave the best gift. The story with Jesus and Martha and Mary. Martha was in the kitchen. That's what she chose to do. She chose to feed. To feed those who are hungry. She makes sure that they were taken care of physically. And then she started fretting. Oh, you know, Mary is at your feet all the time. She's sitting there. And Jesus' nice, quiet answer is, Mary has chosen the better part. Because she complaining that Mary not coming to help her cook. And perhaps that happens every time Jesus is around. But Mary wants to know more of God. As wailing women, we need to know more and more. We have the mandate and the training manuals and the word from the Father's heart. The words from the Father's heart are prophecies from the mothers or the mamas. When they go into prayer, they go into vigils and they go into retreat and they seek God. They seek God's face continually, and God speaks. We ask God to open our spiritual ears, whatever gift God has given unto us, the gift to teach, whatever gift, Kim, the gift to sing, whatever it may be, let us use it, the honor and the glory of God. Some people are just encouragers. A word of encouragement to somebody. You send a word of encouragement to somebody on WhatsApp or whatever contacts you have. Good morning, have a good day. That would not even take a few seconds from you. And then you never know, that person might be low in spirit and they say, oh, Brenda Lee sent me a message and that lifted my spirit. And I don't mean the somebody thought, those things that the GIF that you take from WhatsApp and send it. Say good morning, how are you doing? Have a good day. Send a sunshine to the person. And the person might not be a wailing woman, but that in itself can cause them to say, okay, that person really, really encourages, and then they start saying hi to you. They can also encourage you because iron sharpens iron. We need each other. So word of encouragement using our spiritual gift and interceding on behalf of others. Let us not be weary in well-doing. We will reap if we faint not. All right. So thank you very much. Homework was being done. I really applaud you guys for a wonderful class, a class of students who are willing to to learn more about the things of God. Now we're going to talk about the significance of discipleship. I think we would have done the price of discipleship and we would have finished all those. Maybe I can quickly recap it for those persons like Ivy who was not here on Tuesday. There's always a price to pay in following Christ. And the possible consequence as spelled out as follows. One, rejection from family members and friends. And I think sometimes that is very prevalent. I had to speak about something concerning that in devotion, the family devotion this morning. At times, it is family members and close friends. Once they leave the door open, just one little tiny bit of the door open for the enemy to come in, he would use that opportunity and against especially the one who is forging forward in the kingdom of God. The enemy does not use a stranger to get at you. Because why you just say, oh, I don't know that person. They can say whatever they want to say. But when it comes to your family, when it comes to your close inner circle of friends who you trust and perhaps would say things to them that you may not say to anybody else, and they use that against you, it can cause you to become discouraged. So there's a price. Don't be discouraged. Jesus said he came unto his own and his own received him not, but as many as receive him, to them he gave the power to become the Son of God. So it means that Jesus was even rejected by his own family. And we also saw in scripture where even Peter denied him. The 12 disciples, the closest set of people he had. What happened to him when they had him in the courtroom? They distanced themselves from him. So he knows what is rejection from those who are close to him. So you know what? He will keep us close. And we sang this afternoon. He is the pillar that holds our lives. We will be misunderstood. We will be ridiculed. Some person depends on their race, the clan from which they come from. Once they move out of that circle and if join Christianity, then they would be disinherited. We know also, even if they marry to somebody outside of the clan, they will be disinherited. There's some religion where if they marry outside of that religion, they say it cause I missed the word. But it's like you are getting to marry somebody out of what you believe. There are a lot of congregation who don't allow members to marry persons from another religious body. They would segregate themselves from them. But what the word of God is saying, when we follow him, when our desire and our zeal and our passion is to truly serve the Lord, come what may, for the gospel's sake, even though all that happened and we're misunderstood and ridiculed and disinherited, he will be with us. He is the pillar that holds our life firm. And when I hear that, I remember the story with Samson after they dug his eyes out and they were going to have this feast. Samson asked the guard to carry him to the two main pillar of the building. And what happened? He used all his strength and pulled them down. Many, the word said, more die when in his death than when he was alive. But God will always be with us, especially when we know that we are willing. He knows that we're willing with a passion to serve him. In all of that also, we have to do self-denial of pleasure and comfort and luxury. I even explain that as wailing women, there are times when we have conferences, we may go in a posh hotel, and there are times we might have to bunk somewhere else. We might have to stay out in the open and see the stars, but whatever it is, our passion must hold, because there's hope in God, and he would do what no other man can do. He will keep us. So we have to deny ourselves so that we can follow Jesus. Like the rich young ruler, he told him, sell all that you have and give to the poor. But what the young man did, he did not do it, and he walked away sorrowful. So we have to have total commitment to the course of the Master, not depending on him to meet our expectation, but seeking to meet his. A lot of times we go to God, and I said it earlier, all we say to him, give me this, give me that, give me whatever, because he said to ask. But what we need to do is be determined to seek God's will, to come in alignment with the will of God. When our will is in alignment with the will of God, then we would not make choices of our own self, and then we bear the consequence. So when we have to be true disciples and winning souls for the Lord, these are some of the things we have to deny ourselves. We have, and wailing woman, yes, we have to do a lot of self-denial. Sometimes we wonder how we make it, but don't wonder too much. The Lord giveth grace to the humble, and his grace is sufficient. So when we do total commitment and say, Lord, take all of me, Lord, all of me. And then the price of discipleship, there's no procrastination, no looking back. Because the kingdom business is urgent. The time is right. The night when no man can work, so we need to work during the day. Sometimes we would have no sleep, but we're tarrying. When we have vigils from 10 o'clock to 6 and 7, and I know some wailing woman group chapters would have vigils from 10 up until 8 o'clock next morning. And you would realize that even within that time, and you have to wake up the next morning, you have to do whatever you have to do. You have the energy, and you don't even know where the energy comes from, because we're doing kingdom business. So God business is urgent and is primary. Every other thing is secondary. Sometimes some people say, oh, I can't go to church tonight because whatever. So if you can go to prayer meeting, find a time at home to pray for or pray with the family. The significance of discipleship. Can somebody read Matthew 11, 25 to 27? Matthew 11, 25 to 27. Volunteer to read. Somebody find it quickly.
Voices 25 to 27. Okay. And it says, and that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him.
Read 28 and 29, Ivy, continue.
Say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls.
Okay.
For my yoke is easy.
And my burden is light. So those are, I'm trying to open the scripture on my phone, but it's giving me a little bit of problem. My Bible is in another room. But you notice some of the what God is saying to us. And one of the things that stood out there is that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God has promised. He didn't say he will make things easy, but he will make a way of escape. He will straighten out the crooked path in the wilderness. He will provide for us. And once we know all is well, then it is very important. Philippians 3:4.
Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the circumcision.
Okay, so he's saying there are things, he gave a list of things there that we are to be aware of. Even the enemy, the evil one, we are to be aware of it.
Sorry, I read the wrong one. It said, Philippians 3:4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man think that he has, therefore he might trust in the flesh, I more. Amen. Though I might have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he has, therefore he might trust in the flesh, I more. Amen.
Please unmute Sister Laverne.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry about that. Sometimes these things just move. Okay. So we have to put our trust in God and not in the flesh. All right, Matthew 10:39. Brenda Lee, like I have to call names.
Miss Second Timothy.
Oh yes, yeah, sorry.
Second Timothy 9:1.
Second Timothy 1:9. And ooh, somebody will find Matthew 10:30. Okay.
2 Timothy 1:9. For he delivered us and saved us and called us with a holy calling, a calling that leads to a consecrated life,
uh-huh,
a life set apart, a life of purpose, not because of our works or because of any personal merit.
Uh-huh.
We could do nothing to earn this,
uh-huh,
but because of his own purpose and grace, his amazing undeserved favor, which was granted to us in Christ Jesus before the world began, eternal ages ago, Amplified Version.
So don't close off, Sabrina, because remember I told you I was using the Bible on the phone, but it's okay, messing up. So could you give me a few tips on that same verse that you were your reading there, 2 Timothy 1:9.
Okay, so we are called to not be ashamed to testify about the Lord, because he delivered us, he saved us, mm-hmm. and he called us with the holy calling. Mm-hmm. So we are called to lead consecrated lives because of what Christ did for us. Mm-hmm. He went to Calvary. He was obedient. He said yes. And even when he was in the garden and wanted to give up, he said, not your will, but not my will, but your perfect will be done. Mm-hmm. And because of that, our lives should be set apart, and we have a purpose. And as wailing women, we have our mandate and we know what we're called to do. We could not earn this of our own. Mm-hmm. No matter what we do, even our best is as filthy rags. Mm-hmm. It is because of his purpose and his grace, which was granted to Christ Jesus before the world began. So even before he came into the world, he had been gifted with this. And then we have been gifted as Amen. Well.
Amen. And the consecrated, the set apart. So yes. we have to set ourselves apart from. Mm-hmm. We are not supposed to. At any moment, anybody can say, oh, but she looks worldly. When persons see us, and the part that Sabrina said, that Jesus, when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, sometimes we're so burdened. Sometimes there might be a friend who are going through some difficult patch, and sometimes we sit it out with them, you know, and sometimes we say, Lord, it is not our will. It's not how we see it. Nevertheless, it's not how we see it, but it's how you see it. Sometimes we may be asked to pray for somebody who is sick, and we pray and we pray, and then the next message that comes is that the person died. And we question, Lord, is it that our prayer was not heard? Is it that our prayer was not answered? But we have to remember, it's not our will. It's not about us. It is God's will be done. It is God's will be done. So whatever God's purpose is, we just have to wait it out, but continue to praise him. Isaiah reminded us that we must put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Okay, Brenda Lee.
Matthew 10:39, and I'm reading from the King James Version. He that findeth his life should lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake should find it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so the words tells us if a seed is put into the ground, it must die before it lives. That's my part of it. It must die. So our lives is not our own. We were bought with a price. We didn't do anything to earn salvation. It is given to us through the blood of Jesus. Matthew 19:27-29.
Then Peter answered and said unto him, behold, we have forsaken all and follow thee. What should we have therefore? And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, that he which had followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man should sit in the throne of his glory, he also should sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that had forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake should receive 100-fold and should inherit everlasting life.
Amen. So we have to forsake a lot to follow Christ, to follow the Lord, to do what he wants us to do. So let's remember, even as a wailing woman, we have to forsake and follow, give up and follow. Those who give up, forsake, and follow God, we would be rewarded. Mark 10, 28 to 30.
I can read.
Okay. Somebody, hold on. Somebody, mic, mute your mic, please. Miss Todd, mute your mic.
Doing it internationally.
Miss Todd, mute your mic, please.
Please read it.
Sorry.
Okay, Pamela, go ahead.
Mark 10, 28 to 30. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and have followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily, I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sisters or brother or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life.
Amen. So we see what are a lot of things that we have to let go of, to forsake, to follow the Lord. And at the end of the day, we would reap if we faint not. Jesus said, he has gone to prepare a mansion for us. So the mansion, gaining that mansion means we have to forsake. And a list of things have been given there. We have to forsake them so that we can follow the Lord wholeheartedly. Most privileged to understand the things of the kingdom. So the significance of discipleship is the privilege to understand kingdom life. We are kingdom people. We are children of the Most High God. We are children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he takes care of his children much more than our earthly fathers. Discipleship does not only involve giving up things. It also means that we gain something we could never gain through any means other than Christ's peace, joy, good health, and rest. And I guess there are more. When we are concerned about the things of God, he is concerned about the things of us. He said he will contend with those that contend with us. Our Heavenly Father will never see us suffer. And there's a song that put it that way, and it's added, nor beg bread. David said he was young, and when he became old, he had never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging bread. So he will give us long life, good health, and rest. The peace that passeth all understanding, the joy that this world can give, neither can this world take away. It offers both extensive and instinctive reward. We sometimes work, and sometimes somebody may not say thank you, but we're not working for God for accolades from man. Yes, they may give us it, we may appreciate it, but don't set our heart that if they did not say thank you, you're going to feel bad. Because you know what? Our reward is in heaven. So the more we work for the Lord, is the more content we would be, the more good health we would have, and he give his beloved rest. There's a peace that passeth all understanding. A peace that sometimes in the midst of the storm, we don't know what happened, but we feel that sense of calmness and tranquility. When the presence of the Lord is with us, there is nothing for us to fear. And as somebody alluded very earlier, when we do the things of God, we have nothing to fear. Fear is torment, but God gives us peace. Peace that passeth all understanding. The joy that this world can give, neither can the world take away. So we would get rewards. When we get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. And then when he judges us according to our works, laborers, stewardship, what talent have I given to you? Did you use it? Somebody is sick, did you call them? Somebody called you to take them somewhere. Did you say to them, no, I can't come? I am tired. I have XYZ to do. No. When it's God's work, we must say to the Lord, here I am, send me. Here I am, Lord. It is I, Lord. I hear you calling out my name, as Samuel said, here I am, Lord, send me. Where you lead me, I will go. So that's how we as wailing women, we as God battle axes, we as co-laborers are supposed to see, because we will be rewarded. It makes us to belong to a wider family, which is the family of God, the household of God. Wailing woman is also part of God's family. We are sisters and they are brothers. We are one in the bond of love. So our family lineage is not just the biological family. We have the biological brothers and sisters and cousins and aunties and grandfathers. We have spiritual families. It's wider. We belong there. So that's a significant of. And sometimes we may not know somebody, but we can pray for somebody. We can pray for a person that we may not even know. In Wailing Woman, you may see a prayer request for somebody and you may not know the person, but when we reach out to that person, you never know how God works things out. And it also gives us eternal hope. Conclusion. In the course of preaching the gospel, we should be bold as Jesus did to point out the cost of following the Master. Our hope is not earthly, but divine. And if we suffer with him, we shall as well reign with him. We share his companionship and leadership, but we may also share his faith, rejection, opposition, misunderstanding, ostracism, perhaps even death. No matter what, he will never leave us, and may we never leave him. Isaiah said, what separates us from God is our sins. He said in Romans, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, and he made a list of it. We would reign with him. If we want to be like Christ, we would go through some of the things that he went through. the walk, the journey we are on is as if we're in the classroom. We have to pass every level. If we fail, we have to do over the exam. And we don't fail because sometimes doing over the exam can become a little bit more challenging. But we want to go. We ask God, Lord, if this is a testing or trial, help me to pass it. If they send me out to do a task, help me to do it to the best of my ability. Little is much when God is in it. We want to give the best, give of our best to the master. Give of our best as wailing women. Ask God for strength. Open our eyes so that we can see. The battle is raging. God give us the spirit of Nehemiah. Even when they say a fox would break the walls down, God, you are greater than the fox. Nehemiah prayed concerning everything that he would do because he knew the God in which he served. There is hope. There is always hope. Once God is in our vessels, we will smile at the storm. When we are doing discipleship and we ask God, Lord, take the wheel, go before us, make the crooked path straight, open the hearts of somebody today that salvation can come to their house. Zacchaeus climbed up into the tree to see Jesus, and Jesus looked up and he said, Zacchaeus, come down. Today I'm going at your house. It was not about the supper, it was not about the dinner, but it was about his soul salvation. Whatever little we can do for the Lord, it is much. It will be counted, especially when we do it out of a heart of love for the God of the earth, the King of Kings, Jehovah, our soon coming King. So we have come to the end of this chapter, discipleship. Anybody have any question? And remember, if somebody on the platform can answer it, you can go right ahead. Any comments, anything you want to share, you can. The platform is open at this time.